We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Harvey, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Audacy Station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
Worst person, Pam Beasley, Laura Winslow.
But I don't know why Laura would be bad.
The changes that she put Steve through, he had to clone himself, man. And then she falls in love with Stephon Urkel and then falls back in love with Steve Urkel.
But why is it Laura's fault that this man is obsessed with her?
It's not. And there is an argument there that dude was a creeper. All I'm saying is, throughout all of it, Myra was right there. That was the one.
And Laura, did she dump Stephon Urkel, or did he kill Stephon Urkel
no.
so he can fall in love with her?
They did a switcheroo episode where it was Urkel being Urkel and Urkel being Urkel. Which is, they got things after season 6, things got a little, didn't they have a 10th season on CBS where someone else was playing Harriet? And then the third daughter was no longer there and the auntie was gone, but they kept the son.
And 3J for some reason was there.
Yeah, they were
all
like,
the time.
This needs to be more hood. I honestly think that Goff should be really proud that this segment of him talking about starter jackets ends up with us talking about Urkel.
Make me a bicycle, clown!
Y'all was feeling me on the whole Myra thing, though. I appreciate that. Bass drop! Welcome in. My name is Lawrence Holmes, and I'm here with you until 2 o'clock. We are going to talk with Michael David Smith, the Pro Football Talk, coming up around 1240, 1245-ish. We're going to talk with our buddy Jeff Rieger, who works at our sister station in Detroit, about Jim Harbaugh, and we're going to do that at 125. I want to get into talking about Jim Harbaugh. We will do that next here on The Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Audacy Station.
A couple of Bears notes to start off inside of this segment. Justin Fields is ready to start. Barring anything that happens in practice over the next couple of days, he will start the finale against the Vikings Sunday up in Minnesota. Also, Matt Nagy told the reporters today that he has not been informed that this is his last game coaching the Bears and that that report was not true. I don't know if any of that matters. If it matters if he's been told that he's going to be fired at this point, like, I don't know if any of it matters. Later on, if we have time today, it's on the list of things that I want to get done on today's show. I do want to talk about the chasing of coaches and what ends up happening at the end of all of this. And obviously, one of the places where we're going to start today's show has to do with some of that, which is the Jim Harbaugh story. Bruce Feldman had reported that he will listen to NFL coaches or NFL teams that might be interested in his services. some things to keep in mind when talking about Jim Harbaugh, and our buddy Jeff Rieger will join me in the 1 o'clock hour to discuss this more in depth. Remember that he signed an extension with Michigan, but that extension came with a very heavy pay cut, half of it, where he was making $8 million in 2020 and he's making $4 million a year in 2021. Now, there was a bunch of bonus stuff that was put in to get him back closer to the $8 million, and he hit most of them. He hit $2 million of bonuses for winning the Big Ten and then getting himself into the college football playoffs. Harbaugh turned around and gave that money to people inside the athletic department. It was a very magnanimous gift for people that probably needed that money. I applaud him for it. Even I don't know what his intentions were, if they were 100% altruistic or whatever, but it doesn't matter. That money mattered to those people, and they clearly needed that cash. And I think everyone would love to be in a spot of someone godfathering them $10,000 here, $5,000 here. It would make a huge difference to people who work inside the athletic department. So I guess one of the questions about, well, two things. You know how I feel anytime that a coach is interested in maybe plying their trade at the NFL level when the Bears job just happens to be open, it feels like the Chicago Leverage.
Our favorite team.
They are our favorite team. Now, it could also be the Las Vegas Leverage, but we don't care about Las Vegas. If you think that he's interested in a NFL job and that he's not going to listen to the Bears and or use the Bears for leverage, then you're crazy. It does seem weird, though. Like, this was such a great year in Ann Arbor. And he made significant staff changes. Like, he got a younger staff, like, all of that stuff. And it seemed to make a difference. I wasn't expecting them to get their doors blown off by Georgia. They did. It happens. But in a year where Ohio State's offense looked like it was not going to be stopped, in a year where Mel Tucker got this crazy extension to kind of set everything in motion around college football and, to a certain extent, pro football, with the pay cut that Jim Harbaugh took, there are a lot of places where if you're Brian Kelly or Lincoln Riley or Mel Tucker or probably Ryan Day, you might not make, or you might be doing something laterally to move to the NFL from a financial standpoint. With Jim Harbaugh, that is no longer the case because of the pay cut that he took of the extension. Now, he can either leverage Michigan into another contract extension with some upfront money that's going to cover the losses that he took in the pay cut, or he can say, you know what? I would like to go back to the pros, and I'm going to command $8, $9, $10 million a year, especially if there's maybe more than one team that might want Jim Harbaugh. This is what I mean by the Chicago Leverage. If he does want the Vegas job, the play isn't to just go to Vegas unless they put the Godfather offer in front of you. The play is, yes, I'm interested in your job, but I'm an ex-Bear. I mean, you know, I'm that guy. I was on the sidelines with Ditka. This franchise means a lot to me. I at least have to listen to what they say, right? Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. And then you get your dollars up. This is the first step in the Chicago Leverage, letting the world know that you would be amenable to them calling you and asking about your head coaching job. I don't know who's making that call, which is a situation that I will talk about a little bit later on.
I was just wondering that, so we'll just get to it later on. Then.
Yeah, we will do that later on in the show. But a couple of weeks ago, as Michigan and Ohio State were getting ready to battle, and Michigan won that game, Mike Hall from the Big Ten Network was on the show. I love talking with Mike Hall. He's one of my favorite guests that we have on. And I asked him about both guys. Clearly, there's the relationship between Ryan Day and Justin Fields, and he's a hot candidate, too. I'm using air quotes. If you can't see me on Twitch, shout out to Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670thescore. But I wanted to know if either of those guys made sense for the NFL and the Bears specifically. Here's what Mike told me.
I think both would pick up the phone and talk. How likely it would be? Boy, I mean, that's so fascinating. I have heard for a while that the only way Ryan Day will not finish his career at Ohio State is if a marquee NFL franchise makes a hard push. So I'll be honest, I hadn't thought about that yet, maybe because I'm too locked into being sad every Sunday afternoon and too focused on Saturday afternoons, but it's really not a bad idea. I mean, he has uber respect across the college football landscape, you know, sort of like Urban Meyer. I mean, he is a great recruiter, which you won't have to do necessarily in the pros, of course, but you're right. I mean, if the most important thing for the next 5 to 10 years for the Bears is make Justin Fields successful, like outside of giving him the best offensive line possible, having a coach who knows how to call plays for him is the next best thing. And I think that would be a brilliant hire. I think if the Bears, they should look harder for Day than for Harbaugh for a myriad of reasons. But I just think his potential, I don't think we've seen the best of him yet. And I fear we might have seen the best of Harbaugh. Now, tomorrow, if Michigan wins, that could change if I think we've seen the best of Harbaugh as a head coach. But I think Ryan Day is going to be a name we're going to hear around football for a long time. And I don't know that he's ready to leave, but again, if it's one of those 7 or 8 marquee NFL jobs, I think he has to listen.
The Bears would probably consider themselves a marquee job, right? I don't know if people around football still do. I think they do. But they would definitely feel that way about their job. This is when it gets fun. There's a lot of spinning that's going on. Michael David Smith of Pro Football Talk is going to join me in the next segment. I want to ask him about this. I want to ask him about the league itself, kind of stumbling to the finish line here with the COVID protocols. There's a lot to get into, and he's one of my favorite national people to discuss. But I will ask him about the Bears. We will do that next here on The Score.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
So happy that you are hanging out here with us on The Score. It's cold out there. It's raw. But we appreciate you listening in whatever modality you listen, whether you listen over the air on 670 AM or 104.3 HD2, which I keep trying to tell you, that's the way, because you can hear the bass in my voice. Or you're on Twitch. Maybe you have us on your TV because you're watching on Twitch, which is totally fine. There's a chat that goes on inside that. Or you're using the Odyssey app. Whatever way you do it is fine with me. We are talking a lot of Bears, and I want to throw some NFL into the conversation. Michael David Smith is the managing editor of Pro Football Talk. He's great. We get to talk with him a couple times a season, and I always enjoy it. He joins me on the Circuit Resort and Casino Hotline. Circuit Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Mr. Smith, how are you, man?
Mr. Holmes, I am doing very well. Always a pleasure talking to you.
You know, I was thinking about this because, you know, we're in this incredible time warp over the last 2 years because of COVID. Like, the last time I saw you was literally walking into the Super Bowl.
But before, yes, that is correct. I remember that well.
Before all hell broke loose. It's really, really strange. Like, how long ago that feels and how it feels like it was just yesterday. But I was thinking about that when Herbie said that you had time free and you were able to talk with us. One of the things that I've been discussing on the show, and I wanted to get your opinion on it, was the way we talk about head coaching candidates and how we seem to silo them as this guy's an offensive guy, this guy's a defensive guy. From people that you talk to around the NFL, the job description of head coach, does it matter if you have a play calling ability, or are we not doing a good enough job of just looking for people that can lead?
Yeah, and I really think people that can lead are what you really want, but we don't just silo. I think we silo even more specifically than you just mentioned, because it is like just young guys, just kind of innovative offensive play callers. So like Matt LaFleur and Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan, although even he's getting to the point where he may not be viewed as a young guy anymore, but all of those guys are in like one silo, and then everyone else is in another. And I mean, to throw out a name, like Jim Caldwell is a good offensive coach who has had a lot of success with quarterbacks, with obviously with Peyton Manning, but also some of Matt Stafford's best years in Detroit were with Jim Caldwell. He's like not getting any attention as a possible head coach again, even though he's a good offensive coach, good quarterback guy, because he's like too old, or his offense feels like it's old school. And I'm not a big fan of that, because I think it's ultimately a leadership job. It's a job about leading a team, leading a coaching staff, hiring good assistant coaches. I think it's all about that. And I think if you're looking for a coach, you need a lot more than just a young guy who calls plays on offense.
Yeah, it's really interesting, because and the idea of aging out, like obviously here in Chicago, people have a fondness for Dave Tobe. And yeah. I've always thought that he was the type of guy that should be in more conversations about being a head coach. But now he's around 60, I want to say. And it feels like
he's going to turn 60 this year.
And he's another guy that I feel like has aged out of the process. And I'm not sure that makes sense, because ideally what you're hoping is, can you find someone that has enough energy that for the next 5 years, forget about hiring a coach that's going to be Mike Tomlin, but for the next 5 years, can you find someone that's going to put you and set you up in a position to win?
Yeah, right. And I mean, Dave Tobe is a good example of someone who he has a very good resume. He has a long time as a coordinator level assistant coach, special teams coordinator, but because special teams is not considered as glamorous as an offensive coordinator, and because he's about to turn 60 at a time when a lot of coaches who haven't even turned 40 are the ones who are the most in fashion, I don't anticipate him getting many, if any, interviews. And I think that's too bad. I think teams would be smart to consider older coaches. You know, older guys can still coach. Bill Belichick can still coach. Andy Reid can still coach. Pete Carroll's team is down this year, but he, as recently as last year, he was coaching. You know, older guys can get the job done, and I think it's too bad if a guy, because he's 59 going on 60, can't even get an interview, but I think that is the case.
Sometimes I feel like I'm too close to talking about the problems with the Bears as an organization. Even in saying that, I may have, you know, swayed the jury before I even asked this question, but what is the view of the job that Ryan Pace has done from a national perspective?
I would say not very good. And I think that, you know, it was kind of funny seeing how bad Mike Glennon was on Sunday and like saying, well, any thought that you're going to credit the Bears defense goes out the window because, well, Ryan, you know, to credit Ryan Pace for the guys on the Bears defense who are playing well kind of goes out the window because Ryan Pace was the guy who thought signing Mike Glennon was going to be a good idea 4 years ago. So I would say he hasn't done a very good job. The fact that they don't have a first-round pick this year is not a great indication. Obviously, if it turns out that Justin Fields is a great franchise quarterback, it'll be well worth it. But not having a first-round pick this year is one more strike against Ryan Pace if you're going to make the case that he deserves to stay because he can improve the team in the offseason. I think if you look at the Bears roster, if you're going to have this kind of season, you know, 6-win season, you want to be doing it with a lot of young guys showing promise, and they're doing it with older guys, expensive guys, a lot of guys who aren't going to be on the team, and again, not a first-round pick. So I would say I don't think he's done a very good job, and I think most people I talk to don't think he's done a very good job.
Matt Nagy, it seems as if he will not be coaching the Bears after Sunday. I still leave that 5% in there because who knows what the Bears' ownership is going to do. Where do you think things went wrong for Matt Nagy? And was it just him, or was it a combination of not getting the things that he needed from Ryan Pace?
Well, I definitely don't think it's just him. But, you know, he just never got his offense straightened out. And he was one of these guys who, when he arrived, came with the young, offensive-minded, has innovative ideas for offense, and it just never worked. It never improved, and it didn't even really matter who the quarterback was. It just never seemed like it made any sense, whether it was Trubisky or Foles or Fields or Dalton. It didn't even matter who the quarterback was. You just kind of always felt like, this is not what Matt Nagy's offense was supposed to look like. This is not what Bears fans were sold on that Matt Nagy's offense would look like. I agree with you that it's like still like 5% that he'll be back. You know, they're 3-3 since that pre-Thanksgiving report that he already was fired, which proved to be wrong. You know, I agree with you that I don't think any of us really knows what's going on inside the minds of the McCaskey family, and stranger things have happened, but I do expect that he will be gone after Sunday, and that'll ultimately be his epitaph, is that he just never got his offense going, and he was an offensive coach, and that was the promise that he arrived with.
There's some myopathy when it comes to me looking at the Bears. Like, that's what I do every day. But when we start talking about their ownership and it being family-run, and there are plenty of family-run teams around the NFL, comparatively, and I know that the Giants are going through this right now, where you have, what, 4 seasons where you end up with the last 4 seasons with 10 losses or more with the Giants. But as far as looking at it through the prism of the family-run franchises, where do the Bears rank in the way that they run their business?
Well, I think they would have to be considered near the bottom. I mean, when you look at, like, the Rooneys seem to have a real knack for consistency. You know, this is one of the weaker years for the Steelers, but this is a year that Bears fans are kind of jealous of that the Steelers are having. I mean, the Steelers are still at least technically in playoff contention now. That's certainly not the case for the Bears. So I think that they would have to be considered near the bottom. The Giants look real bad currently, but hey, the Giants, wasn't that long ago that the Giants won a couple of Super Bowls. So, you know, I think you would have to say that the McCaskies are near the bottom in delivering on the results that Bears fans deserve. And I think you have every right to be disappointed in the way your ownership has run the team if you're a Bears fan. But I don't sense that the McCaskey family decision makers are sitting there thinking, we have to make a massive overhaul, we've gotten everything wrong, and we have to face up to that. I sense that they are more along the lines of, hey, we're pretty close. We're going to tweak a couple things this offseason and get better. And I don't think they are that close. I think, obviously, if it turns out Justin Fields is a great quarterback, that changes a lot. But I don't think they are that close. And I think that they would be wise to do more introspection about why it is that the Bears have not been where they should be.
Back near the draft and even coming into camp, myself, a lot of Bears fans, we're thinking this is the end of Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. He and Matt LaFleur put together another great season. He should be the MVP of the league. this year with the way that he's played. I has sensed from the broadcast of the Bears-Packers game a few weeks ago, from what was told to Collinsworth and Michaels, it feels as if that relationship has cooled, that things have cooled off. How possible do you think that there's a kiss and make up scenario with Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay?
I think it's very possible. And I would not have thought that, like you said, around the draft and for a couple of months after the draft, I really didn't think it was possible that Rodgers would stay in Green Bay beyond this year, but, or this season, not, but now into 2022, I really do think that it's very possible that Aaron Rodgers is still going to be the Packers quarterback for the 2022 season, because it does just, it feels like whatever the issues were, and I don't know if we ever got a full accounting of what the issues were, but it just feels like it's been smoothed over. And Aaron Rodgers, I think he's kind of gone from viewing the Packers front office as his enemy to now kind of viewing the media as his enemy, and he views himself as this anti-establishment guy. And maybe he likes being in small town Green Bay where he's not dealing with big city media outlets. I don't know. I think he's starting to feel like he's in the right place for himself. I think it'll depend on what happens. I think he loves playing with Devontae Adams, and I think the Packers really need to make sure they keep Devontae Adams. I'm sure they will, either with the franchise tag or a long-term extension. But I just think they're going to find a way to make it work, and it'll be smoother than just about anyone was expecting like 9 months ago. And unfortunately for Bears fans, I think smoother than the Bears would like to see, because I think Bears fans would love to see the Packers thrown into disarray, and I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think it is either. Thank you so much for being on the show. It's always a treat when you join us.
My pleasure, Lawrence. Thanks for having me.
That's Michael David Smith of Pro Football Talk. I like talking with him. You should follow him on Twitter at Michael Dave Smith. We need to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about the Rob Manfred stuff in greater context, and I want to show some love to DeMar DeRozan. We will do that next here on The Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.